All right, welcome to music rhythm class. I have a word written on the board over there in orange, and I would like four of you to read it. And so it's not a trick of any kind, but I would like someone who is a soprano to read that. One of you ladies, who's a soprano? Would like to read that word just out loud for us. Sherry, you're a soprano. Go ahead and read that loudly and clearly for us. Okay, and now an alto. I don't know who sings alto. Lydia, have you seen? Have you seen alto? Okay, good. All right, now a tenor. Who's a tenor? You're a tenor? All right. Okay, and now a bass. Who's the lowest bass in the room? Derek's got kind of a low voice, so we'll read it.
Hallelujah.
All right. Did they all say the same word? Okay, we'll agree with that. But some of you said it a little different tempo, and there was different pitches. That's fine. In school, we're taught to identify that kind of notation. And so all those circles and lines that I wrote in your mind communicates that you're supposed to say the word hallelujah. But you did it all differently. But it's still the same word. Music notation communicates a tremendous amount more information of what we're supposed to do. And it takes our language notation and also adds pitch, rhythm, and volume. And you could probably put in some other things too. So when we sing, we have to pay attention to a whole lot more suddenly than just the word. So I wrote just a little tune for Hallelujah. And we can all sing it together, and then we'll all be singing it at the same time, or at the same tempo, and at the same pitches. So let's do that. We'll go do, so, ready, hallelujah. All right, so that was completely different than each of you saying at different speeds and different pitches. That is unique to the human species. Their animals don't get together with their vocalizations. So everybody's familiar with herds of cows. They all move, but they don't move together. I don't know if that fact is super important to anybody, but it's just interesting to think about. We think about birds singing, but they don't sing together. So interesting little thing. All right, that's our introduction. Now we're going to talk about specifically the rhythm of how we work, how we join together and say things at the same time. All right, we have to define the terms. So I have some definitions up here. Now the printer, Lauren's printer here, it decides that gray is the new black. So, and also I didn't print it big enough, so I'm sorry, you use your binoculars if you need to. But the definition of rhythm, we said music rhythm. Now we talk about hearing a rhythm or feeling a rhythm. What does rhythm mean? Definition of rhythm is the movement of music in time. A pattern of uneven duration over the steady background of the beat. It's easy to confuse rhythm and beat, and we use them interchangeably sometimes in our normal speech. But today we're going to have to separate them a little bit. The definition of beat, then, is the steady underlying pulse of the music. That's what your toe taps to. That's what your head nods to. The rhythm is what goes over top of it. So I've illustrated it this way. This is an eye-level view of a floor. Right at the, like if the floor was cut off and you're looking right at the end of it. So these are floorboards and here are the floor joists. Now the joists are spread out at even regular intervals, but the floorboards, like everybody's seen a hardwood floor and it looks like this, right? The joints are all different places. Some boards are long, some boards are short, but they're all spread over top of the even steady floor joists. That's the difference between rhythm and beat. You all know the song, The Birdies in the Treetops. That's an excellent one to demonstrate a rhythm going over top of a beat. So find something that you're going to tap on, not too noisily. Your knee works really well. And we'll count and measure, and I'll start singing and you join in. And as you're singing The Birdies in the Treetops, think about that what's happening with your hand and what's happening with your voice, because it gets all mixed up. Ready? One, two, three. The birdies in the treetops sing their song. The angels chant their chorus all day long. The flowers in the garden blend their hues so bright. and forth all over the place across that beat. That's rhythm and beat. Now we got to talk about meter. Meter groups the beats into recurring patterns. So I have another definition. Here is meter: a grouping of rhythmic pulses by means of regular accents and strong and weak beats. Now, metered music is divided into measures depending on the pattern of the accented beats. Because we can put the accented beats close together or spread them out. Start thinking about counting exercises. So think about what happens if you go 1, 2, 1, 2. You kind of intuitively accent 1, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. But if we do 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, you start to just automatically accent those beats. So you can draw this for your students pretty simply. If you just make a bunch of straight black lines for beats, and then take another color, or just, well, the color doesn't really matter that much, but makes it easy to see. So then start counting, and when you hear an accented beat, mark it. So you know one is going to be, so you go 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, and you can do all the way across. And then you can say, notice that there's a pattern. Every other one is accented. So we take a measure bar and divide those patterns. So you have one at the beginning, and then you put one here. So there's always a measure bar before an accented beat. And you can do that with any of them. Now, we can do a 4 pulse. So we could have left this one here. We know that's going to be, all right, so number one will be accented. 1, 2, 3, well, here we go. I got confused. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And so you come across like that. Now, I haven't done this before. If I'd practiced a little bit more than I did, I might have been able to do it. But you can also catch the unaccented beat. When you count with 4 pulse, you typically go 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And so you can take 1 as your accented beat, and then 3 is your less accented, I don't know, what's the proper way to call that?
Secondary
beat, that's right. I knew I was forgetting a term. So you can mark all those, and then of course come through and put in your bar line, or your measure bars. So that is one way to get a visual demonstration of that. Then if you want to do compound timing, the faster you count, it gets a little bit harder, but you could go to a 6 pulse. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and there again, you put it here, and then you've got 3, and then on 4 will be your secondary beat, and so you kind of have to have a lot of beats out across the board if you're going to get 2 full measures of that. And if you want to get on up into a 9-pulse or a 12-pulse beat, you can have a really long chalkboard. Ever seen a 5-pulse beat? Ever seen a 5/8 time signature? There's a song, I only know of one song. You might have heard it. It's called, I don't really know what the title is, don't remember, but it's Shepherds Come Hurry. And it's a song about the nativity and the shepherds hurrying to Bethlehem. And the time signature is 5/8. And it sounds like this. Shepherds, oh shepherds, hurry, come hurry, we can go quickly, this old path is wide. What if you do it in 6/8? It would sound like this. Shepherds, oh shepherds, hurry, come hurry, we can go quickly, this old path is wide. Doesn't sound like they're hurrying. It's a very fascinating song. When they take out that 6th beat, it just, I don't know, 5 is a beat pattern that we're not, it doesn't work well with our bodies or something. We don't typically, it's not a restful pattern, but it sounds like shepherds hurrying, right? Shepherds, oh shepherds, hurry, come hurry. They're just tripping over themselves, basically. Any questions about this stuff? All right, time values of notes. Do people play Hangman anymore? I remember playing Hangman on probably some chintzy little electronic game when I was a very small boy. And maybe this doesn't connect with your students, so they don't do it anymore. I don't remember. But you know, you're playing hangman, you have to guess the letters of the word, and every time you get it wrong, you know, then a head appears, and then you get it wrong again, and this, and it just keeps adding parts until the whole guy appears, and then you've lost the round, you know. Notes kind of follow the same idea, that you just keep adding stuff. And you have So you start with a note head, and you know, and depending on what your classes, you maybe have to go into greater detail on this, but you start with just a simple round oval, that's a whole note. And then you keep adding things from there. So next you add a stem, that's a half note. The next step is color it in, that's a quarter note. And after that you just start adding flags. That's an eighth note. Add another one, that's a 16th note, that's a 32nd note, that's a 64th note, and you'll probably never see any of the last two I just mentioned. Well, you know, actually you will. Some songs on, is it Joy to the World? I think in the church hymnal there is a song that has a slur with a dotted 16th and the 32nd. It doesn't happen frequently. You have these papers that I gave you, a handout, note value, note time value. That helps give you a visual, and that's a great tool to use teaching, showing how the notes divide up. It just continues to subdivide. Now, it's kind of unfortunate they don't put the 16th notes there, because we do encounter 16th notes a lot. But you can talk about that or draw them in yourself or something. Then you also have to equally as well demonstrate all the different rests. Now, I didn't wanted to do a whole nother page, so I didn't include this one for you, but I have the this paper, which does the same thing for the rests. Now, of course, remember to teach the different ways you can draw a quarter rest, and I didn't get a demonstration of the other kind, but it's basically a backward Z, and I never remember which is backward, so I have to do a Z, and then I have to do a rest. But it's something along that line. A lot of older songbooks use that rather than the... Wait, am I doing that right? I always have to get my head screwed on straight. There, that one. They're interchangeable. It doesn't matter which you use. You have to use one or the other, and you have to be able to recognize them both. And if that's a problem for your students, hammer it in their heads. Maybe you can draw something up on the board, and I don't think I'm going to take the time to draw it. But, I can demonstrate. I won't draw the whole thing. You can write whole like that, and you can put the note over here, and you can put the rest right here. And then you can put half, and you just go all the way down to the 8th or 16th notes. Draw one on one side, one on the other. And maybe you can find a chart that shows that already. How do you all like to describe the difference between a whole rest and a half rest? They look about the same. What's the difference?
Whole is a whole under a line.
Right.
And a half looks like a half.
That's an excellent way. So if this is the ground and then you dig a hole like that, then that's a whole rest. And the half looks like a hat. The other way is that the whole is a lot heavier and he falls below the line. A half is half as heavy and he stays above. You can do it that way. Any other ideas that y'all like to use or were taught? And the rest of them aren't as tricky. Okay, now what about dotted notes? How do you, that can be a little tricky to tell people what a dotted note, or describe, help teach that. So, you can talk about eighth notes, two eighth notes, and then you can come down below and you can draw an eighth note, put a nice big dot, and do a 16th. About the only way I can think of to make a connection is tell them, you know, have you ever went to the grocery store and they've got a sale on chips, buy one, get one 50% off. That's what's going on right here. Buy 1/8 note, you get 150% off, and then you get your other 50% too. It's just, it comes along behind. Later here in the workshop, we'll get to working through the rhythms on your papers, and we're gonna be using Takadimi syllables, and that also helps tell, gives a little bit, if you draw it the way I'm gonna, it can give a bit of a demonstration on how that is spread out and what's happening there. And then if you need to, you go ahead into all the other time, you know, you can dot a half note, you can dot a whole note, a quarter note, whatever you want to do. Most of the time, probably the greatest majority of the time, you see this in our music. You see dotted quarters and eighth notes too. Don't hardly ever see a dotted whole note. And then the other thing that you can do is technically you can dot a rest. You don't see it very much. I can do it on finale if I want to. And I don't usually because it's not common. It's a little confusing. But it can be done. Any questions?
On your, on a dot, like dot at 8, if you just write it out as an 8th and a 16th beside each other, just
you know, you are exactly right. You show it this way, and if you've learned about ties and so on, you can use a tie. You can say, there's your 8th note. Tie it to a 16th note, and then you get another 16th note, and that is the exact same as that. Okay, we talked about meter, we talked about note value. Now how do we get it put together? So, you know what a time signature is, and you've got two numbers, and we'll use a very common one for demonstration. So we would call that 3/4, and the top number is the number of beats per measure. Bottom number is, well, I could write it this way. Bottom number tells you your beat note, or that basically what note, what value of note gets one beat. I don't think it's wise to teach, to begin teaching note values if you haven't laid the foundation with meter and then started with the time signature, because you can't start telling people that a quarter note gets a beat and you're using quarter notes to teach beat or a beat pattern or something, because that is not necessarily true. In this case, it is true because we're getting 3 beats per measure, and the 4, which is the denominator of 1/4, tells us that a quarter note will get a single beat. But what if you have this? Well, now you can't be using quarter notes for your beats because you need to use half notes for your beat note. So make sure that you don't get ahead of your schedule with your little music program going on. So the common ones that we see, well, you tell me, what are the common time signatures? Just start saying ones you think of.
2/4, 6/8.
2/4. 6/8.
4/4.
3/4.
What? 9/8, somebody said?
6/4. There's a 3/8 sometimes, but it's very common.
There is Sweet Hour of Prayer, 3/8. That's the only one I can remember.
3/2.
Okay.
2/2.
About it. I think those are about, in our congregational music, those are about the only ones you'll come up with. There is one, is in the Zion's Praises, that has an 8/8. I don't know why. 8/8 is the same as 4/4. Don't let that confuse you. I can't tell you any 8 ball speed pattern. You can make them up your own. And you'd look like an airplane propeller if you did it anyway. So. I just realized when I was talking about measure, I had a definition for measure. A unit of meter consisting of a number of accented and unaccented beats. That's a clear, concise definition, and that might help if you put that up on your board, too. We threw out some that aren't terribly common here. 12-8, you can't, boy, I know there's a song in something like maybe, is that in the Zion's Praises too, maybe? I don't remember. You will encounter that very infrequently. 9-8, a little bit more often. 6-8, very frequently. This is one of the most common. This is probably 3-4 and 4-4 are the most common. 3-2, you do find. 2-2, 3-8 occasionally. And 6-8, or 6-4 a little bit more often. What was your question about compound meter?
Okay, so like say the song, what is the song? The Silent Night, maybe? Yeah, Silent Night. You know, you have 6-8 time on Silent Night, and I think for Silent Night you probably would use the simple time. But then,
what do you mean by simple time?
In other words, beating the eighth note instead of beating 3/8 notes as one beat. You know, compound time versus simple time. Compound would be the 3/8 notes gets one beat.
Right.
So. Silent Night is definitely, it would be the simple time. You have to beat each eighth note.
Okay.
But then there's other songs that it's hard to tell whether it's, you should beat it with the eighth note getting beat or as, 3/8 notes getting one beat.
Silent Night is about the only song I can think of that you actually sing slow enough.
Maybe we should sing it faster.
Silent Night, Holy Night. Well, that kind of, the mood goes out the window there. I don't know what to tell you, Derek. You only move your arm so fast. So I think that's, for me, that's what would dictate what beat pattern I use. And also, do I want people to be jittery or do I want them to be calm? When you look like a hummingbird, it doesn't. A one-armed hummingbird. That's even more unsettling, probably. All right, let's talk a little bit, though, about teaching simple beat or compound, or simple rhythm or compound rhythm. When the top number of the key of the time signature is 2, 4, or 3, it is classified as simple time. And the reason we say it is simple time is because a single note gets a single beat. 4-4 is just the most clear example, or one of the most clear examples. If you have four quarter notes in a measure, each one will get one single beat. And so if you've taught them beat patterns already, then you start talking about every time your hand makes one of the motions, a quarter note will have gone by. But if your top number is 6, 12, or 9, it is compound time. And most compound time basically means, in my mind, that there is more notes than you can flap your arm at. So even though this technically says that an eighth note, that there are 6 beats in the measure and an eighth note should get a beat, you can't go that fast. So you compound it and you divide the top number by 3. See, 6, 12, and 9, there, it's always divisible by 3. So you divide by 3, then that tells you how many pulses you put into your beat pattern, but now you are compounding the notes and you're squeezing 3 into each beat. So you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 8, 9. It's probably about that simple. Maybe you can think of other ways, but it's about that simple to explain. When the top number is a 6, 12, or 9, divide by 3, and that tells you which beat pattern you're going to use, and you're squishing 3 notes into a beat. And you could draw that a lot of different ways, probably. Any ideas on how you all do that? most of the time. I can't think of any exceptions to that. If you have, right, 6'4", 6'4" would be 3/4, so you'd have a dotted half. 6'8" would be a dotted quarter, because it would be 3/8. And you can use all kinds of demonstration songs to show that. Find a 6/8 song, there's going to be dotted quarters throughout the whole thing, so you can use that as a teaching tool.
One thing I've heard as well, too, is that, the simple time is a marching beat, because you can march to it, where the compound is more of a skipping beat. You know?
It is, that, and that's true. You can use that in demonstration as well. And you can, if you had lots of time to prepare for your class, look at the different kinds of songs. And think about why the, and you can talk about why the composer used this. And if you happen to know Shepherds Come Hurry, you can talk about that a little bit, or use that as an example of how the meter affects the mood of the song. So, what would happen if Silent Night was simple time? Silent Night, I don't know how that would be, but you can talk about that kind of thing. All right, do you know what tachydemy is? Anybody heard of that before? Some of you do. Maybe you probably know more about it than I do, because it's been a while since I interacted with it. I don't know the history, and I didn't. It's probably in this book laying on my desk here. But somebody that was smart came up with this. And it's a system of syllables that are assigned to the pulses throughout a measure. And so it's helpful in learning rhythms. And it's a lot of fun, and it's a great thing to do with your students. So it's called this. And give me a second to draw what this looks like a little bit. I'm not going to be able to give you a full introduction to this. This will kind of get you on the right track, and if you want to learn more, you'll find your own resources. And I can show you the book that I have that does give a pretty good does teach you pretty well how to do it, and it also has all the exercises that I have copied for you, and many hundreds more besides, actually. Alright, so notice at the top I've written, here is a single beat. And we can, all of these phrases, taka di mi, can fit into a single beat. Now, when you are reading a rhythm pattern, you use the first syllable that you encounter. So if we have a quarter note, and let's just say, what's the first one we're going to use? It's common time, but that's 4/4. I'll talk about that in a second, what common time is. But let's say we have this time signature. So we know that a quarter note gets a beat. The first phrase you encounter is ta. So your quarter notes will be ta. Now if it's 2/8 notes, you use ta for the first one because you encounter that first, and it's good for two syllables, and then you have to use the next syllable available, which is d. So a 2/8 note pattern would be said ta-di. Ta for quarter, ta-di for 2/8 notes. And then it breaks down to the 16th, where you use every single syllable, taka-di-mi. That's a very simple, and I should say simplistic, introduction to Toponymy. It gets much more complicated as you expand it. The reason I drew it this way is because all of the exercises I have today use a quarter note as the beat note. This whole thing restructures when you start using like a half note as the beat note. Suddenly your half note gets a ta, quarter notes are getting the ta di, and you end up with eighth notes down here on the bottom, and so on. If that's confusing, don't worry about it. Today we're doing it this way. And now we get to start having fun with rhythms. So on your first page, it says common time at the top, and it has the number, the first exercise is number 7. It describes what common time is, which is kind of a bit of trivia. You do see this sometimes in hymn books. It'll have a C marked where the time signature should be. And so here it says that the symbol C signifies common time and is the equivalent of the meter signature 4/4. And so it's not an abbreviation for common time. It's a relic from a system of notation used in the Middle Ages. And so at that time, the geometrically perfect circle stood for triple meter, and the number 3 representing the perfection of the Holy Trinity. So they had their religion all tied into their music notation. And so then an imperfect half circle stood for quadruple meter, or a 4-pulse meter. So that's how we got C for common time. So this first one, we can say it using the Toponymy syllables, and I'll say it for you first. I'm going to do the first line. It is a two-line exercise, so we'll do it all together. But I'll say the first line, and you start to follow. Now, when you come to a rest, it is good to keep a rhythm somewhere on your body, because when you come to a rest, you don't say anything, but you have to keep marking the beats. So it would sound something like this. Ta, 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 di, ta, ta. Ta, di, ta, ta, ta. Ta, 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 di, ta. And I maybe should have went a little slower. Now, what happens on the second line down where there is a half note? And there, you keep the first syllable you encounter, which is ta, but you just sort of go ta. You just keep saying it. And if you would find a whole note, and we won't today, but if you find a whole note, you just say ta for a really long time. All right, I think that you can do it. And we're going to do both lines, and we'll go a little slower for you. So I'll count you in. I'll give you 1, 2, 3, 4, and on the next one we start. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ta, 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 di, ta, ta. Ta, di, ta, ta, ta. Ta, 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 di, ta, ta. Ta, di, ta, 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 ta. Ta, di, ta, 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 di, ta. Good job. Good thing I put on lots of exercises. And let's do 9. We'll go a little faster, and it throws a little bit more interest into it. I'll give you a measure, and then we'll start. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ta, ta, di, ta, di, ta. Ta, ta, di, ta, di, ta, di. Ta, 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 di. Ta, di, ta, di, ta, ta. Ta di ta 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 di ta ta di di ta ta. I missed that. That's a lot of fun to do with students. Now, what can you do to vary it? You can do duets, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. And you can do rounds. So we can take one of these simple ones and do a round. So, 1, 2, and 1/2 of 3. So from this lady right here, you all are all in group 1, and you all back there are all in group 2. And let's have you chase each other 1 measure apart. And we can go back to the top one, number 7, just for make it a little easier. So you all will get going, and then as soon as they get through their first measure, you all will get going. Are we ready? I'll give you a measure again. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Ta 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 di ta 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 di ta ta ta
ta di ta
ta ta ta di ta 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 di ta 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 ta
ta
ta di ta 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 di ta
ta ta ta di ta.
Okay, good job. Let's just try clapping, and maybe we can try another one. Let's do 8. We haven't done that yet. Let's clap it, not using Takadini syllables. Clapping rounds and duets is fascinating as well. So it's as simple as it sounds. Quarter note, eighth note, quarter note, etc. I'll give you a measure again. We'll do 8, but we're just clapping it this time all together, and we'll do the whole thing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's do that last line again. Starting.
Okay.
And just hold. And I don't know if it helps you, but when I get a rest, I don't know, you still do something. Don't clap, but move your hands. Do something to keep that rhythm. Let's just do that bottom line, starting with the half note there. Second line of number 8. Oh, maybe I'm getting off. Anyway, let's try it around. It might crash, but for fun. So same groups again. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Why it's fun. You get a lot of bewildered looks, and then you get to keep on figuring it out. You know? We're just about ready to close, and we need to do a few more fun things. Turn your page over. Number 30, you will find ensemble exercises. I know the instructors always say this. What time does it end? I think it's 10:40. Is that correct? 10 to 11. Oh, good. We do have some more time. Well, in that case, we'll go back.
No pause. Interesting. I mean, I never did this before.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when I was younger, learning to play a musical instrument, we were taught to look ahead, which is something that we don't do as much when we're singing.
Mm-hmm.
But this actually does force you to do that.
You're exactly right. Yeah, because unless you're a really fast processor, you're going
to
completely fall by the wayside. Yeah, it's excellent skill. One thing I wanted to make sure that you understood, let's look at 14. And notice it's got those little eight. The second measure in has eighth notes and eighth rests. Now, am I correct that you just use ta for that? Is that right, Edwin?
For the rest.
No, for the eighth notes, since they're at the beginning of the beat.
Which one are we on?
Number 14, second measure.
Yeah.
Okay, so it would sound something.
If it's at the beginning of the beat.
Right.
Yeah.
So it would sound something like this. The first line of 14 would be ta, ta, di, ta, 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 ta. Ta, ta, ta. Oh, well, then catch you. Okay, so that's how you do that. But then now look at number 16, just down the page. Look at the second measure there. Notice that the rests are coming at the beginning of the beat and the note is following. So then, when you have this pattern, 8 following 8, but the rest is on the ta, so you say the d, or the d syllable. See, one advantage, one thing that these syllables do is they keep track of where you are in the beat. And so if ta is silent, D still needs to be represented because you've moved through the beat that far already. So that was number 16 would sound something, or here we go, sound something like this. Toddy, 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 d, 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 toddy, toddy, something along that line. You want to try that? Maybe we'll go up and try 14 first. Let's just do the first line. Note, well, I'll tell you like you should tell your students. Scan it, and then we'll do it. All right, let's try. Okay, about the same tempo. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ta, ta, di, ta, di, ta, 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 di, ta, 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 di, ta, ta. Just first line. Good job. So that's pretty easy. You got that just fine. Now let's try the first line of 16. Scan that one. All right, let's try. 1, 2, 3, 4. Toddy, 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 toddy. D, 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 toddy, toddy, ta. D, ta, ta, toddy, ta. Hey, not too bad. All right. Now, another variation you can work in here is if you have learned beat patterns, don't have them start beating time while you're doing this. So why don't you do that, and we'll do 16 again. All right, and you can get your time going while I count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Toddy, 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 toddy. D, 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 toddy, toddy, ta. D, ta, ta, toddy, ta. All right. Lots of different variations. And then you can take one of these and do a round, and then you get all kinds of interesting things happening. Flip the page. Ensemble exercises. This gets fun, too. So, let's just say girls take the top line, boys take the bottom line. We're used to doing that kind of thing. And let's look at 30. Scan your lines. Pretty simple lines. Let's do it. Again, I'll give you a count in. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Toddy, 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 toddy,
toddy. Second line, too. Go ahead. 2, or 3, 4.
Toddy, 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 toddy.
All right, and it progresses in difficulty. You get quarter rests. Scan the first line of 31. Okay, it's not too hard, but look out for the rest. And this is three pulse. 1, 2, 3.
Toddy, toddy, toddy.
All right, this is the first line. All right, good job. Now, how do you feel about 32? That one just has one line for you to do. You've got 8th rest. It's a little harder to keep track of things. Derek doesn't even look at his paper as much. He has it memorized already. All right. Heads are up, let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Ta, 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 di, ta, 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 di, ta, ta, di, ta, 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 di, ta, di, ta, ta.
Some of you are very good at sight reading rhythm. That's impressive, good job. So those are fun to do. You can split things up all kinds of different ways. And when it starts to get easy, then double the tempo. And then people are head over heels all over again.
Just kind of along with what Dan was saying, if you as a teacher, you'll probably have practiced it beforehand. You'll know it better than the students. Don't necessarily stop to redo when they mess up. Just keep pulling them, keep dragging. dragging them along. And I found when I was a student, that pressure was what really helped me grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with learning to look ahead. When you're singing in church, you don't get a chance to go back and re-sing
right.
when you make a mistake.
Yep. You have to catch up again. Yeah, that's a good point. Another thing you can do is, these are two-part exercises for one person. You have two hands, and you do two things, one thing with each. How do you teach this, Edwin? I mean, do you do the whole group?
That's what we did. We would just put our hands on our desks. And probably about the only thing is with something like this, there's something about using hands that you just tend to run away with it.
Okay.
So
your tempo, so like a metronome.
Slow or, yeah, metronome or something. But that's what I'm used to. Two pencils or ear hands.
Okay. So get your hands on your knees or on your desk or whatever you've got. Just start practicing a little bit, and then we'll try it together once. Probably won't take a ton of time here. I could ask for a volunteer to demonstrate it. Probably, but no, it's just there again, it's reading. You've got, you're paying a lot of attention to a lot more detail, forced to read ahead.
The other thing it teaches you too is when you're singing, you're doing two things at once. You have to watch the words, and you have to watch the music, plus you have to watch the timing. And it's like, I'm not sure that I'll be able to do this.
Yeah, and it's challenging. And with this kind of thing, I should show you the book that I have. This is by no means the only reference, but when I went to a month-long music training, this was a required textbook, and this is what we use for sight singing. Well, there is just pages and pages of exercises. So I'm probably violating all kinds of terrible copyrights by copying these today. But if you get a book like that, you can customize your drills to exactly what your student's ability is, because just look at 33 through 38 that I have. 33 is attainable for pretty much everybody. 38 is going to be one tough go to master. And 30, I mean, they're not very far apart in the book. You know, I took out a few there, but.
Aside, Paul,
mm-hmm.
You're not. You're okay.
What happened to me?
You're okay. You're not bothering me.
Oh, okay.
That's actually for another topic for English class. But you're only using part of it, using for educational purposes, and you're not harming the original publisher's monetary gains. Those are the three principles today.
Okay.
So you're on safe ground.
Thank you for that clarification. Very good.
And that's of interest for everybody.
It is, yeah.
It's like it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Okay, so what were the three things?
You're only using a small part of it.
Using a part of it.
For educational purposes.
Educational purposes.
You're not gaining any monetary advantage from it. Educational purposes, and you're not harming the original publisher of the work. In other words, for a class like this, we would not have all bought the book.
Right.
We could not copy it.
Not harming the original publisher of the book. So three things that can help you know whether you're violating copyrights. Thank you. Okay, let's try this. You've looked at it a little bit. We'll go kind of slow. That'll help you. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'll just do the first line. All right, fun things. Now, we do still want to get back into the Takadimi a little bit. Oh, and by the way, you can't say Takadimi and do this. It doesn't work by yourself to do two rhythms. So don't try that. It'll be a failure. Flip your page to the one that's only half used, number 4 at the top. And by the way, that sightseeing course is interesting because they start introducing dynamics and so on. And so now this piece is to perform adagio, which is slowish and ponderous and so on, at least my understanding. And then there's also dynamics like quiet, and then they tell you that. But we'll ignore all that today. We're just doing Takadimi. So now we get to do the 16th pattern, which is Takadimi. So number 4 would sound something like this. ta 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 di takadimi ta takadimi, and so on. And so scan the first, well, we'll go through this whole one. Scan it quickly. It's not hard, it's a pretty simple one. Ah, you got far enough. Number four. And I'll count you in. One, two, three. Ta, 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 di, takadimi, ta, takadimi, ta, di, takadimi, ta. Ta, ta, di, ta, takadimi, takadimi, ta, di, takadimi, ta, di, takadimi, ta, di. Ta, takadimi, ta, ta, takadimi, ta, di, takadimi, 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 ta. Ta, 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 di, takadimi, takadimi, ta, di, takadimi, ta, ta. Well, that takes your breath away. Now I'm going to jump down to number six. What do you do with the first measure in number six? You have a dotted quarter and an eighth. How do you say that? It's going to look something along this line. So your dotted quarter is going to... I'm going to have to do this a little differently because I only have one beat showing, and that crosses a beat. So imagine that you've got a dotted quarter out here, and so it went all the way through the previous beat, but it didn't get done there, so it started into the next beat, and the eighth note in this beat takes up ta and ka. So you end up with your eighth note at D. Does that make sense? So so we're used to the rhythm with two eighth notes saying ta D, and we're used to saying ta ta with the quarter notes. So now you're saying ta D ta, or am I right? Yes. Scan that. First measure would sound like this. Ta di ta di takadimi. Anybody know what poco a poco ritardo means? At the end there. Doesn't mean getting slower and slower is the idea, right?
Slower a little bit at a time. Yeah.
Okay, let's try it. I will, and this is andante, but we won't do it andante. We'll do it adagio again. All right, here you go. One, two, three. Ta di ta di takadimi ta di ta ta di takadimi ta 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 di takadimi takadimi ta ta takadimi ta di takadimi ta ta takadimi ta di ta di ta 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 di takadimi ta di ta 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 di ta di ta di takadimi ta ta di takadimi. Any questions? Hopefully, I've given you some tools to use. Teach your students. Edwin, is there a better way to help teach them what syllables to use when?
Okay, explain that a little bit.
When you have a student and they know nothing about takadimi, how do you help them understand that each of these syllables has their place in the measure and you use them at their place?
The only thing I'm going to say is just work with coordinates for a long time. Get that very well established and just work with quarters and eighths and just get it totally till it's coming intuitively. And things will start clicking along the way. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, one of the biggest points is just not introducing something too fast.
Right. Not like I've done today.
That varies with your students. Some pick all this up in a day, and others
right.
stuff on quarters, and that's fine.
And remember, this is not an end in itself. This is to get rhythms in their heads and teach them to read quickly. And probably is it probably a good idea as you work through this, start transitioning to using Talkademy right out of your songbook. And begin to teach that as a method of singing the notes works great to learn the melody. How about using Talkademy to learn the rhythm? So learn the rhythm first, then start singing the notes, and before you know it, you've learned a new song. Any other questions or comments you would like to discuss?
Can you explain again about 16 and why is that, in the second measure, why is that?
Oh, that we use the D syllable. Maybe one way to demonstrate it is if you had something drawn up like this, erase this, and put a rest there. And so. Right, and you've got the line drawn showing how many syllables it takes up. So this rest takes up taka, and you're left with D.
Yeah.
Make sense?
We talked about meter some. One thing I guess I'd point out about meter is that it still does not give you a definitive answer on how fast you are to sing a song.
Right.
It's still up to a leader to decide what the tempo is going to be up to a certain point. I mean, adagio, sure, I mean slow or whatever. Exactly how many beats per minute doesn't
right.
specify. There's still some leader.
And even if it does, few people have a metronome sitting in front of their church service or whatever. Right.
One thing that I would maybe say too is you don't have to, you don't want to do maybe this stuff like an hour for 1 week. I mean, it's better to do 5 minutes.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, or just whatever, you know. So just right before we stand for lunch, you know.
Yeah.
Do run through a couple lines or something.
Exactly. Probably what we've just done in some classes would be way too much. And I mean, what a great thing to calm people down after they come in from recess or in the morning when they're sleepy or all kinds of things. And in music class. Anything else that's come to your mind that you'd like to mention? Well, I hope you've benefited today. And now, before we end, well, that'll be it.